Nick live from the Ghetto Studios in scenic Butler, New Jersey.
You know, you're an atheist. We get it.
Logical debate. Critical thinking. It's the Freak Forum.
Hey everybody out there, Henry Cuto here with the Freak Forum. We got a brand new show for you right now. We've got a very anticipated guest here, the gentleman who runs ProofThatGodExists.org, Cy. I'm sorry, I actually don't know your last name.
It's quite a long name. It's a Dutch name. It's Ten Bruggenkate. I know it's a mouthful.
Well, then I'll just leave you to... handling that, but Cy,
your name was pretty interesting. That sounds like a French name. You belong up in my country.
Actually, it's Portuguese.
Oh, you're kidding?
I'm not kidding, but it's been whited down really good. My mother was not Portuguese, but I was given the Portuguese name. I was raised by my mother, who then, of course, just called me Henrik. So it's kind of stuck with me.
What's couteau in Portuguese? In Portuguese, I know in French it means knife.
I believe if it's C-O-U-T-E-A-U, it
means... Yeah, that's right. I'm just wondering in Portuguese what it means.
I honestly don't know. I think I've always been told it meant knife in French, but I'm not sure about Portuguese. I think it's just it's a pretty common name in Portugal. So, but out here people are just confused and scared, mostly scared. So Cy, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? We want to get to know you before we jump head first.
Well, I know on the show where you reviewed my website, I really appreciate you doing that, by the way, because I've gotten a few emails about the discussion you had about it. Of course, you know, we've come to different conclusions, but I think that reading everything that was on the site, I think that was very fair of you. And I really appreciate you having me on today, because I've not done too many podcasts. I've done a couple of Christian podcasts on it, unchainedradio.com. But you're actually my first atheistic podcast, and I'd like to do some more mainstream media, so I just really appreciate you having me on. Now, one thing that you did mention in the critique of my site is you thought that I might be a middle class or upper middle class white guy. Well, you got the white part right. I'm not an American either. I'm a Canadian, and I'm just an average working stiff like you, if you're working, that is.
I'm pretty much a working stiff. Well, that's a fair statement, I would say.
And as far as the ministry goes, it's just me. It's just a guy with a website and doing my duty to get the truth out and to hopefully cast down vain reasoning, which is what I'm commanded to do in the Bible.
Okay.
But, like, I mean, one of the premises of your show here is to convert me, and I don't believe that I can convert you. That's not up to me. You know, I'm not asked to convert you, and I think that I cannot make you believe something. Just like you can't make me believe anything either. I can present the truth, and then we'll see what happens from there.
That's definitely a fair way to look at it. I actually will not be coining this episode a Convert Me episode. This will simply be a discussion, because when we had your website featured on the show, we definitely had quite a bit of a response, which I was very happy about. So this we're going to get a chance to really to dig a little deeper, I think, and hopefully it'll be a good time. So,
I realize that you know, you have to make your show colorful, but hopefully by the end of this you won't consider me the simple-minded moron that you called me.
That's true. You know, and I want to say now, not to be a backpedaler, but I do, much like every radio personality I've ever had the pleasure of working with, you just kind of splat out of your mouth when you go off, so I hope you didn't take anything too personal, because I don't even remember half of what I said.
Yeah, hey, that's no problem. Actually, I have a few clips here. I don't know if I can play them for you, but as we go along and look at your critique of the site, then I could play them. But I did have that one, just in case you had forgotten it. I thought I'd play that back for you.
Well, I appreciate that. So, just so you know, we're going to set some ground rules. They're really actually rules to protect you, honestly, because I'm a very overpowering voice, if you didn't notice, and I tend to drone on. Now, if I make any accusations or any accidental misrepresentations of you, you know, like the old-fashioned saying, you know, do you still beat your wife? If I make any statements like that, please call me on them immediately. I want to make sure.
I'll stop you right there. I'm not married.
Well, neither am I, man. So now we got something in common. That's one. So.
All right.
But yeah, I want to make sure I continue to make fair statements. There's no reason to need slander or anything like that. It's just simply not necessary, as I'm sure you know. So yeah, well, people expect me not to be fair. I hope you know. They're just expecting me to talk over you.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get into the whole idea of fairness and that later in the show, but we'll just leave it for now. Because I would say I have a reason to be fair, and I'd like to know what yours is.
Okay.
But anyhow, we'll just leave that till we get into the morality issue, which I know which is a bit of a sticking point for you on the last show. So.
Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you what. So you've given a little introduction about yourself and who you are, and now why don't you tell everybody exactly what, in your own words, what your website is?
My website is exposing the lies, or exposing the suppression of truth. Because according to my worldview, everybody knows that God exists, and those who deny him are suppressing the truth. And that's basically, I'm commanded to do this, and that's basically what the website is doing. What people think of it is not really up to me. Of course, you know, I want it to be Bible-based. I want it to be, you know, as close to the truth as possible. Like I say on the site, too, that any virtues of the site are God's, and any faults are my own, because I'm far from perfect. That's why I call it Sinner Ministries, actually. Like, I think a lot of people don't quite understand that. But I'm not talking about the people out there. I'm talking about me. I'm the sinner, and I'm the one who's trying to minister. So, and that's the whole idea of the logo as well, the plank in the eye. I'm commanded to take the plank out of my own eye before I try and take the speck out of somebody else's. So I know not a lot of people probably looked up that first, but that's the idea of the site and the logo.
Well, I'm glad you could clear that up, because honestly, I'm sure a lot of people... much like me, kind of skim things. We're busy people in this world, you know. So you're trying to get people to see the evidence of God that you believe is right in front of your face.
Well, no, I'm not trying to get them to see evidence. I believe that they all see the evidence already. I'm trying to point out that they do see the evidence and that they're suppressing the truth about that evidence. See, because the thing is, there's a view of apologetics called evidentialism. And that's where people, I'm sure you've heard all the arguments before, you know, look at the design of the universe, you know, where does causality come from, and all these types of things. And you could argue them till you're blue in the face, but if somebody believes that God doesn't exist, those arguments are useless. What I basically do on my website is I don't go the evidentialist route. I say, based on your worldview, how can you account for things? And we did touch on, you touched on a bunch of those things that we went through with the website, like the laws of logic, the laws of science, and the laws of morality and stuff like that.
So, to make it clear for our listeners, you're speaking clearly about the Judeo-Christian God of the Bible, Abrahamic God, correct?
Well, the thing is, I'm not trying to prove any other one. There's only one that exists. And like I say, if anybody else wants to have an hour to come on your show and try and prove another God, that's totally up to them. But the God that I am proving is the only one that exists.
And if anyone out there would like to prove any gods on my show, please email me, freakforum@freakproductions.net, just like Cy did. And I would love to have people on. And apparently my phone system's working a lot better this week, so this is all just punk rock, frankly. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and just dive headfirst into this. I think I've said that saying a few times at this point. It's Saturday, and it's beautiful out, except it's New Jersey, so it's actually not that beautiful out outside of the studio. And, all right, well, let's just go for it. I want you to make your first point.
Well, one of the things that you did mention in the first show was that you disagreed with people calling atheism a religion. And you actually had a pretty snappy quote about that. I actually liked it. Do you remember what that was?
I believe it was calling atheism a religion is like calling not collecting stamps a hobby.
Right.
And
that was a pretty sharp quote.
I got actually a better quote from Kyle, the gentleman you spoke to who was on the show last week.
Yeah, I actually did listen to that show as well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the future we can go through that show and then I can refute the things that he brought up. But go on, sorry.
Oh, well, his statement was calling atheism a religion is like calling baldness a hair color.
So. And afterwards, you went on to talk about how people think it's more difficult to be a believer than it is to be an atheist, and you tried to refute that claim. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Now, I have a question, though. Do you collect stamps at all?
Do I collect stamps?
Yeah.
Only the ones I need to pay the electric bill.
I'm just curious, though, what do you think would be more difficult, not collecting stamps or collecting stamps?
Well, I think that if the stamps I were going to be collecting would allow me to see my family members after they've passed away and give me eternal life, I think I would be way more about spending that extra 25 minutes a week.
Yeah, but so you're saying on an emotional basis it's more difficult not to collect stamps?
Wholeheartedly.
But on an intellectual basis, don't you think that not collecting... The thing is, I think that what would make something more difficult if you don't do it is if you make a religion out of it, is if you make a webcast about it, if you make a forum about it, you know, stuff like that. And I think that's when we get into the area of religion where, you know, that's what would make it more difficult when you actually go out and make an effort to speak your religion.
Well, I wouldn't say it's so much an effort to speak a religion as it is to push inquiry. Really, to ask questions. I mean, that's why you're on the show instead of me not having you on here and me just going, you know, yeah, 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 Richard Dawkins, yeah, 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 which I could do every week.
That's true.
But
that's true.
I think that, I mean, and this is my personal feelings, and you may have heard this on the show before, but I'll reiterate it. I mean, I believe that atheism is a very agnostic belief because it's... The reason I'm an atheist is because of current evidence in front of me. If the evidence were to change tomorrow, if God were to actually give me some kind of evidence, and it's very hard to decide what evidence would be proper because I would probably always be more worried that I had a brain tumor and I was hearing things. I'd probably want to get checked out before I decided that it was God, but...
Well, I think if I heard voices, too, I'd probably be right behind you in the line at the clinic.
Exactly.
I don't hear voices myself, so, you know, the people that do say that. And that's one of the things I try to get across on the website, that all that garbage out there, you know, like, well, you know who I'm referring to when you turn the TV on, you see these gold embroidered suits. I mean, I want to puke just as much as anybody else. I'd like to change the channel. And I probably do it faster than you do. You probably stop on there for a little bit so you can have a laugh, but I don't.
Well, you know the saying, know thy enemy? I actually spend far...
Then I should be watching it too.
Well, it's funny because people, when they meet me, they figure, you know, oh, Henrik's, you know, when he relaxes, he's reading The God Delusion, or he's reading you know, Origin of Species. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've read those, but I spend a lot of time reading, like, Holocaust denial literature for some reason, and I'm definitely not on their side.
Right.
I think it's good to be knowledgeable about things, especially if you don't believe them, because you should know why you don't believe them.
Right.
I really
go on.
Oh no, please.
I really appreciate that in the introduction to your show, you say that you're interested in logic and critical thinking, because you know, that's one thing that hopefully we'll get into deeper a little bit later.
Well, yes, I'm sure it'll be very deeply into it.
So, for instance, I mean, the parts of the website that you did not have difficulty with are the laws of logic, the laws of math, and the laws of science, that they actually exist.
Yes.
You didn't have a problem with those things, right?
Correct.
But you do have a problem with the supernatural existing, right?
Yes, I do.
So, you would say that the laws of logic, math, and science exist in nature, then?
Correct.
Could you tell me where?
Where in nature?
Yeah.
Well, the only place they actually, I would say the only place that our laws truly exist are in the textbooks, because our understanding of the laws is what changes. The actual laws themselves will always be the way they are, because the universe has always existed in that way. And this is all assumption based on what I know at this time. So,
right, but if they exist in nature, I'd like to know where. I mean, if everybody burnt the textbooks, would stuff start floating off the ground because the law of gravity no longer existed? Like, where is the law of gravity?
That's a good question. Where is Jimmy Hoffa is what I ask you. Maybe we can help each other out tonight. No, I can't really answer that. I mean, full disclosure, you know, I'm an overweight high school dropout in New Jersey.
Right.
who reads a lot because, frankly, not a lot of dates. But I don't know how to answer that, honestly. I think that... you know, the laws are always there. The law of gravity will always be there. It's our interpretation that exists in a physical way, and that would be in, of
right.
course, textbooks and word of mouth.
Now, do you believe in a, like a random chance universe? That's how we got here, through evolution and just through random mutations and stuff like that?
Well, the mutations were random, but natural selection is not random, and that's what I believe.
Well, what directed it?
Excuse me?
What directed it?
Replicating. You know, replicators. If a mutation happened that was useful, then the creature would pass those genes on more often. And if
the, what about the sorry?
Oh no!
Before life exists, before life existed, then like the necessary preconditions for life to exist. Do you think that's just a, like a fluke, a random chance that happened?
Well, the way I always looked at it is, if it had not been exactly the way it needed to be for life to form, then there just wouldn't be any life. There'd be no consciousness whatsoever. So the way I look at it, it obviously did happen.
Right.
But I don't claim to have all the answers.
But it did happen randomly, of course, and we just happened to be in the universe that, you know, that happens to support life, right?
Well, because we wouldn't be anywhere else. There's no other option.
My question is, though, I mean, you believe in a random developed universe, but you believe in absolute laws. I just don't understand how an absolute law can exist in a random universe.
That is a good question. Well, I think that the idea that mass causes a gravitational pull, I think that that's just that's probably one of the things that will always exist in this universe after you and I are long gone. Because mass just exists.
But the thing is, can you understand that if I had that argument, God just exists, that you'd be slamming me like you wouldn't believe?
Well,
you say that these laws are natural, but you don't know where in nature they are.
Well,
and you say that these laws are unchanging, but that's just the way they are. This is not argumentation.
Is anyone that's inspired by mass decide to go shoot an abortion doctor? Is my question. Because that's
pain, but I wouldn't agree with that.
I I don't think that all religious people are going to go out and shoot abortion doctors. But my point is, I often hear like an argument from religious people, which is stuff like, you know, do you believe New York City is there? You know, and I'm like, of course I do. And they're like, well, have you ever been there? Well, I have been there, but if we use some other example, you know, I haven't been to places. And you know, they always say, well, then how do you know it's there if you haven't been there? And I always say, well, I'm assuming based on evidences in front of me and the fact that New York City does not control my life. At least not yet. I actually may end up with a job there, then it would control my life. So,
you say that all beliefs, you believe that all beliefs should be based on evidence then?
Yes.
So what is the evidence that all beliefs should be based on evidence?
Empirical observation.
Yeah, no, but what did you see that tells you that all beliefs should be based on evidence? What empirically did you see, smell, taste, touch that told you that all beliefs should be based on evidence?
When I was a child, there was a bowl of soup on the table, and I was told that it was very hot.
Right.
I, of course, grabbed the bowl because I was hungry, and that was one of the first instances of truth I probably ever experienced.
Right.
The bowl was indeed hot.
How do you translate that into all beliefs need empirical evidence in order to be true? Because that very statement is not supported by empirical evidence. You can tell me that soup is hot by empirical evidence, but you can't tell me that all beliefs require empirical evidence in order to be true.
That's a very difficult statement, and I'm probably not the best person to answer it, honestly, because I think our senses are what guide us. I mean, touch, taste, smell, they're all... That's how we see the world. That's how we judge what's around us. And the problem with religion is I can't touch it, smell it, taste it, hear it. I can hear it because, frankly, some people won't shut the hell up. But
we'll get into the preconditions of my worldview afterwards. I'm just looking into some of the things that I disagreed with your review of the site. One of the other things, one of the ones that stopped you on the site was the changing nature of these laws. And you said that scientific laws change. Do you still believe that?
I believe the interpretation of laws change.
Right.
As we get more evidence, as science continues to get better over time, we end up with better answers. And
right, so our interpretation is what changes and not the laws themselves.
Correct.
So you clicked on that incorrectly then. You should have clicked on scientific laws do not change.
Hmm.
That's what the question was.
I think you're right.
See, now the thing is, now you said that you didn't like the fact that I lumped that in with morality.
Yes.
But the thing is, the same argument is, you know, for scientific laws as it is for morality, that morality does not change, our interpretation of it does.
But the thing is, there's no absolute moral.
How do you know?
I mean, in a society, everybody sticks to the ground because of gravity. But not every society considers women equal. Not every society
right.
considers rape an inappropriate form of sex.
Right. The thing is, how people interpret the laws has nothing to do with it. That's what you call a straw man argumentation, something else that you didn't like. Because, for instance, if I go to a kindergarten math class and the teacher asks the children, what is 2 plus 2? And they hand in their papers and you get all sorts of different answers. Sure, there's different societies that have different answers, but that doesn't mean that the answer isn't 4.
Well, but I can look at 2 things right in front of me, and then I can take another 2 things right in front of me.
Right.
And then I can put them together and then count them again.
But what about if somebody comes up with a different answer?
Well, then I would probably want to look at what they were counting.
Let me ask you a question, for instance. We have the morality of, let's say, Adolf Hitler, right?
Okay.
And you have the morality of, let's say, a Mother Teresa.
I believe Mother Teresa's morality was not very good, but go ahead.
Would you say that one was more right than the other?
Actually, I honestly dislike both of them.
Okay, well, what's the morality of somebody who you admire?
My mother.
Okay, now, would you say that the morality of your mother is better than the morality of Hitler?
I would, but that's based on my personal morality.
Right. Now, what do you compare that to? Your own personal morality?
Exactly.
So, your mother might not have been better than Hitler.
Well,
you just think she was.
Well, no, because there's no absolute morality, so there is actually, there's no level of better or worse morality. It's all based on societal standards.
You see the mental gymnastics that you have to do in order to say that you cannot tell me that your mother's morality was better than Hitler.
Because there is no better morality unless you have a society to judge it.
Right, so you're saying that your mother was not, you cannot say that your mother's morality was better than Hitler's.
No, just like I can't say that the moon's made out of cheese. Well, I can say it, and I just did, but that doesn't make it so. I'm not exactly following you, but please, if you can clarify it further.
Well, the thing is, that's one of the things that your worldview is reduced to, that if you believe that there's no absolute laws of morality, then you can't even compare two sets of morality except by on a personal level. So you cannot tell people that your mother's morality was better than Hitler's. You just say that it happens, you know, to please me more than Hitler's did. But then, you know, then you lose your argument against anything. You lose your argument against the child molestation. You can't say it's wrong. You could just say, I happen not to like it.
Well, it's wrong to me, and it's wrong to the society I live in, and it's wrong to the laws that have been put into effect by man
so,
in this society.
Would we have a right to impose our morality onto other people?
In a democracy, kind of, although as a libertarian, I want as few laws as possible. I'm not quite an anarchist because I'm kind of a wimp, but...
No, but for instance, did we have the right to go over and stop Hitler?
Did we have the right? Honestly, we didn't until we were brought into the war.
Brought into the war, they chose to go into the war to stop what he was doing.
Well, we chose to go into the war initially because Japan attacked Pearl Harbor.
Right, but the thing is, did we have the right to stop what Hitler was doing in the concentration camps?
Well, were we really even aware of it until we got there? But we're arguing the wrong thing, I apologize.
Right. No, but these are moral questions that, you know, make for an interesting conversation. I don't think it's as black as white as you like to make it sound.
Oh, well, what do you mean what's not as black and white?
Well, the thing is, you say that there is no, there are no absolute moral laws, but I think that, you know, you see what that reduces you to when you make that kind of assertion. That, you know, you basically can't say that anything is right or wrong. You can just say that, you know, what you happen to like, or what you happen not to like, or what your society happens to like. But the thing is, if morality is based on society, then one society does not have the right to do anything to another society. What right do you have, even if you're attacked, to attack back? What is that right? You know, they might say, well, attacking you, that's the right morality. You know, you should stop fighting back. You should stop resisting.
That's a very good point. I can't get behind an idea of absolute morality. I mean, my moral guide is simply to not do harm to other people.
Right, but the thing is, that's totally arbitrary. Somebody else's moral guide could be to do harm to other people, and you can't say that one is better than the other.
Exactly, but I could say that mine works better for me because I'm not in prison.
No, but the thing is, if you get away with it, then there's absolutely no difference. For instance, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
As an atheist, let's say you are at the deathbed of a 90-year-old atheist who confessed to you that all his life he molested children. And he was just about to die, and he said, and you know what, Henry? I got away with it. What would you tell him?
I would tell him he was a sickening human being, and I would walk away.
Yeah, but he got away with it. Wouldn't he be right?
No. Not to me.
Well, he got away with it.
He did, but it's not right to me.
Yeah. But why should he care? He's on his deathbed. He enjoyed molesting children his entire life.
I didn't say he should care that I don't like it, but I don't like it.
That's right. You happen not to like it, and he has no reason to care in the atheistic universe.
That is true to an extent, but that's kind of building your own character for that point. I mean, just like all people, I mean, there's no, I don't believe personally in my experience that there's any difference. Some people are atheist, religious, etc.
Okay, now the thing is, let's just get into the fact that you say that this is your own personal morality. Where does that come from?
It comes from what I see around me, the fact that I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't feel
right.
the need. I think that is a very evolutionary viewpoint, because when you have allies in your quote-unquote tribe, you're more likely to live longer, and thereby you expand your genes.
But the thing is, didn't the people who molest children also evolve? Why didn't they evolve the correct morals? Why are yours the correct one?
Well, because of chance. Sometimes mutations get through, and also, as humanity, technology has kind of thrown off evolution as we get older, as a race, as we get older. Evolution really isn't on top of things anymore, because we can treat illness, we can treat mental deficiency in some cases, we can treat a lot of things, we can treat sterility in some cases. More genes are getting through than ever before.
So you've stopped evolving?
Sort of. I'm sure we're evolving, but in a way that I can't see and that most people would be unable to see, because the big picture is really big, you got to admit.
It's a big picture. Now, the thing is, if our morals have evolved, though, the thing that gets me is that our morals, we can't say that anything is right or wrong. We could just say that this has helped us to evolve. That the whole idea of a right moral or a wrong moral is totally thrown out the window. So you can't say, for instance, that what a child molester is doing is wrong. He's just doing what he's evolved to do.
Well, no, I can say that what a child molester is doing is wrong. That doesn't make it absolutely so, but in my community, it's so.
So it could be right.
To him and to other bad people.
No, but, I mean, it just could be right in general. Blessing children could be right. You just happen to personally think it's right.
I didn't say it could be right. It is right to the people who defend
it. If it's not absolutely wrong, then it could be right. It could be right.
Then it would have to have an absolute right to go along with that. It's not absolutely right because there is no absolute either way.
No, but the thing is, what I'm asking you is, if it's not absolutely wrong, it could be right.
I'm not following you, because it goes person to person. So it
right.
could be right in some people's mind.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying that if molesting children for fun is not absolutely wrong, and the corollary is that it might be right.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit there. What did you say? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that if molesting children for fun is not absolutely wrong, which is what you say, it's not absolutely wrong, it's just up to personal preference, then it could be right.
But by that logic, my leg could be made out of a turkey that was born in 1725. That doesn't make it so.
I'm giving you an option. I'm giving you an option, an either-or option, unless you want to give me another option that you think would make sense, because that's one of the options. Actually, when you answered the question, you said that you believed personally in absolute morals.
Maybe I did. I wish I could remember exactly what I had said there, but I was probably sleep deprived. But my point is, I don't believe that there are absolute morals. Morals are a societal thing and are a part of individual people. So to say if it's not absolutely wrong, it could be right, I disagree. It most certainly is right in the mind of the what I would call criminals who are perpetrating it. But to myself and to the majority of the people in my society, it is wrong and should be punished.
However, if somebody says that 2 plus 2 is 5, could they be right?
I don't know. I don't have absolute knowledge, but I'm going to bet that they're wrong. I'd be willing to bet.
All right. Now, this is one of the things that got hung up, but one of the things about the site is that I was actually thinking of taking out the absolute morality because so many people get hung up on it, but my Christian friend said, no, leave it in there because that's what people will be thinking about. But the thing is, any absolutes point to the existence of God. And, you know, we can dissect the whole idea of absolutes, and then we can leave morality alone for a little while. But one thing that we're talking about was knowledge. And when we get to the proof of the website, once we go through all the different changes, all the different stages, the proof of the website, the proof of God, is that without Him, you cannot prove anything. And, of course, you know, I imagine that you had difficulty with that step. But let's just examine what is required in order to be able to prove anything.
Okay.
Now, would you agree with me that in order to prove something, you would have to be able to know something first?
Sure.
You can't prove something that you can't know, right?
Sure. I'll go with that.
Okay. Now, would you say that knowing something means that it is necessarily true? For instance, let me give you an example. You could not know something that is false. You could only believe it. For example, you could not know that Arnold Schwarzenegger is the current president of the United States. You can only believe it. So in order to know something, you would have to know that it's true. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, but I know some things are false. I mean, I know...
Well, I'll give you an example of something you know. See, what I'm saying is that knowledge, you cannot know something that's false. You can only believe something that's false.
Okay, well, there's no Santa Claus. There's no Easter Bunny.
That's a truth. You know that to be true.
Okay.
You can't know that it's false.
Oh, okay. You're kind of losing me there. If you could.
Let me give an example of something that you know that isn't true.
That I know that isn't true.
Yeah. In order for you to have knowledge, it has to be a true belief. Like for instance, the example that I gave you, you cannot know. Somebody cannot know that Arnold Schwarzenegger is the president of the U.S. They can only believe it. You can know that George Bush is the current president of the U.S., but you cannot know that anybody else is, because you know, that would just be a belief. That would be a false belief. So in order to know something, it has to be true.
Honestly, you're really losing me on that.
Like the example that you gave about Santa Claus, you know that Santa Claus does not exist, correct?
Correct.
You know that because it's true.
It's true that he does not exist.
Right. So that's knowledge. So you can count that as knowledge. But you could not know that Santa Claus does exist.
Unless I was misinformed.
No, you couldn't know it. You could only believe it.
Oh, okay. I suppose I'm following you, but I don't really agree.
Well, the thing is, that's simple. Just give me an example of something you know that's false.
I once thought the loved me.
No, but the thing is, you were wrong. You believed it, but you didn't know it.
Okay, well, but no, but but in my mind, I knew it.
Well, no, but that's to know something in your mind is not to know it; it's to believe it.
Okay, well, I'll allow that. I think I'm with you. I think I'm following you.
All right. So, in order to prove something, you have to be able to know it. And to know something, that knowledge has to be true. Now, in order to know something, would you agree with me that your cognitive abilities would have to be reliable?
Would have to be reliable?
Yeah, in order to know something to be true, would you agree with me that your ability to reason would have to be reliable?
Somewhat, yes. I'll agree with you.
Okay. My question is, without being circular, how do you know that your cognitive abilities are reliable?
I can only hope that they are.
So you can't know.
Well, I can go to the doctor, and the doctor can usually help me. But for all I know, I'm just in the Matrix waiting for the red pill or the green pill. But that's, you know, that's just like I said. That's like saying, you know, we could say the moon is made out of roast beef.
But the thing is, if you went to this doctor and he said, yes, your ability to reason is reliable, wouldn't you need reliable reason? Be able to understand what he's telling you?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit on that?
Wouldn't you need reliable reasoning in order to accept what a doctor tells you is true?
I would probably need to be able to understand what he's saying, yes.
See, the thing is, you have to presuppose that your reasoning is viable, but you were critical of circular reasoning in the website and on in the forum that I had with those friends of yours. But do you understand now that you cannot know anything unless you first have faith that your ability to reason is reliable?
Okay, but there you're getting into kind of a semantics thing of redefining faith, and go ahead, please.
How is it possible for you to know anything is what I'd like to know. Because in order to know something, you would have to have reliable reasoning, correct? How do you know that your reasoning is reliable without being circular?
I don't consider empirical observation and the use of the senses and evidences, I don't consider that circular.
No, but what I'm asking you is, how do you know that your reasoning is reliable?
I don't wholeheartedly know that, but I live believing that it is.
Right, but the thing is, in order to know anything, you would have to know that your reasoning is reliable. What you just admitted.
Okay.
Okay, so you're saying that you don't know that your reasoning is reliable, so therefore you cannot know anything. And if you can't know anything, you cannot prove anything. And that is my point. Without God, you cannot prove anything.
Well, exactly, and you can't prove God.
No, I'm saying that without God, you cannot prove anything, and you admit that. You agree to that. That's the proof.
I think that that's nearly moronic.
Explain to me why.
Well, honestly, I'm kind of lost. I'm just amazed at the amount of verbiage that's pushed toward me to kind of get me to understand. And I think you have it very well thought out, but it's just not.
Well, we could try and simplify it. I mean, that's not a problem because this is really what it hangs on. We could try and simplify, but I mean, what it comes down to is that you claim to know things, and I'm sure that after our discussion today, you will continue to claim to know things. You will make knowledge claims. But my point is that if you don't know that your reason is reliable, you can't know anything.
Okay, well, but I don't think it's quite that simple. I think that I can't really agree. I can't solidly agree to that because it's just a matter of senses and observation and seeing what's going on in the world.
Right, but how do you know that's reliable?
I only know it from what I can see, touch, smell, taste, hear, and I said taste, so I'm finished on that list.
How do you know that your senses are reliable?
Sometimes they aren't, but I go to a doctor to get checked up. That's usually how I fine-tune.
Right, but the thing is, if you go to a doctor, you're using your mind to see whether or not he's helping you or not, so you believe that's reliable before you go to the doctor.
Not necessarily. I've had some quacks in my life. No, I really have. It's unfortunate.
What it comes down to, though, and I think that we've demonstrated here, is that you cannot know that your reasoning is reliable without supernatural revelation. And that's the point of the website. That the only way you can know something is if God reveals it to you. If somebody who knows everything reveals it to you.
See,
and I know, you know, for somebody who's not used to this kind of argumentation, it might be a big pill to swallow, but what it comes down to is that the fact of the matter, like, I will ask you to demonstrate to me how it is possible for you to know anything without God. And I've had this site, it's almost a year anniversary to the site, and I put that question out there, and I'd like an answer. I'd like to know how people can know anything without God.
Well, you see, what I think, though, is it's a simplification. What you have here is a very good point, a very complex thought, you know, how do we know anything? And you have a very good question there, but you immediately default to supernatural, which is the easiest solution to me.
It's the only solution, unless you prepare to give me another one, which the floor is open. Go ahead.
I wish I could. I wish I were that brilliant, but I really
don't. What it comes down to is that people say, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not God.
Well, I only know it's not God because then I have to think, which God?
But the thing is, you don't know it's not God because you can't know anything.
Well, I never claim absolutely that there is no God, but I've seen no evidence of the God. That's kind of my point. But to just go, well, I can't really figure this out, so you know what? I'm with Yahweh on this one. It just doesn't work for me.
But the thing is, that's not how it works because my argument is that knowledge and proof require the laws of logic. The laws of logic are universal, they're immaterial, and they're unchanging. None of these things make sense in the atheistic worldview. However, in a theistic worldview, in a Christian worldview, the Bible accounts for immaterial entities, it accounts for universal entities, and it accounts for unchanging entities. It's not that I fall back on the flying spaghetti monster. I fall back on what the Bible teaches me makes sense out of human reasoning. And I would like another explanation of what makes sense out of human reasoning other than God. Well, I have an explanation. It's not that I fall back on nothing. I have an explanation. And I'd like to hear another one.
Well, now, but can I ask you, and I mean, I figured that I would end up needing to ask some of these questions. Now, you have the Christian God is the only God, according to your worldview. And
right.
I have to ask, though, does it matter that a lot of people's morality does not follow the morality of the Bible?
Does it matter?
I mean,
what do you mean by that?
I'm confused by that. By if absolute morals exist and this God has put them in place, then then why is it like my morality seems so different from the one?
Well, the thing is, I don't think your morality is different. I think that people differ on. I think people find morality the same. They differ on what they find excusable. And the thing is, I think if we sat down together, we would find that our morality is the same. But the Bible teaches that God has written these things on our hearts. That's why we have the same morality, whether we profess faith in Him or not.
Okay, well, how about this then, Cy? Since I think we're doing pretty well. We're having a good time working on this, and I'm enjoying the show. How about we start picking our brains about morality a little bit in general?
All
because
right.
I would love to speak to you directly about it and get somebody who's knowledgeable about their belief. Okay. Well, let me give you some example. Actually, what I'm trying to think about exactly how to put this together. I'm of course running with this impromptu. What would you consider is something immoral? Could you just give one example of something that's truly immoral?
I would say something that is truly immoral would be rape.
Okay, and this is of course according to your Christian worldview.
Right.
And
it would be in defying loving one's neighbor. I think raping them would probably not fall into that category.
Okay, and we can agree. I agree that rape is wrong and a terrible crime. Now,
but the thing is, I have a standard. I can say it's wrong because God has created us to live in a certain way, and that does not include rape. But the thing is, you cannot tell me why it's wrong, why people should not rape their people. You can only say that you don't like it.
I feel that it's wrong because it harms someone. And I believe
right.
that people are the most important thing on the world and that...
But that's your personal opinion.
Of course it is.
So somebody who likes raping people can say, why should I care what your opinion is? I think rape is great. Why don't I just do that?
Well, and they would be a psychopath. And I would not want to have dinner with them.
You can't say that they'll be a psychopath because they base it on their personal morality just like you base rape being wrong on your personal morality. That's the point.
Okay, well, let's move back to your theistic worldview.
Right.
Okay, I have quite a few friends that are gay.
Right.
I don't know if you are for or against. I have my presupposition of what I think you believe, but I want you to be honest with that and go for it. I don't believe you won't be honest. I apologize for phrasing it like that.
Not a problem. So, well, what I'd like to say is that I'm a sinner. You know, I sin. I am equally undeserving of salvation as you or as anybody else. But the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is also a sin. But that does not mean that I'm without sin. I have my own sins, just as they do.
So being a homosexual, in your opinion, I mean, but it is wrong to be gay.
I would say that practicing homosexuality is a sin according to the Bible,
okay.
According to my absolute standard.
See, and that's where we would, of course, begin to disagree, because I do not think that there is anything morally wrong or harmful to being gay or lesbian.
But it's only your personal opinion.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah, so who cares?
Only I do. And and people who don't want to be oppressed by other people's belief that they shouldn't be allowed to practice and love any way that they see fit.
Right, like men loving babies and like people loving their mothers in a sexual way. There's nothing wrong with that either, right? Love is love, right?
Well, I think that the love would have to be mutual and consensual.
So like a man and his daughter, his teenage daughter, who have consensual
If his teenage daughter consents, of course, I'm of course judging by the laws of the land, so I would say, you know, of the age of consent.
Oh, wait a minute, I thought you were talking about personal, so now it's the society, right?
Well, because of my libertarian values, if somebody isn't harming someone, if the two parties are able to, of sound mind, decide what they want to do...
But who gets to determine what harm is?
Excuse me, I'm sorry?
Who gets to determine what harm is?
The victim. If there's a victim.
Victim.
I mean, so, I would think that the victim would know if they were harmed.
So what the victim says, is that an absolute wrong then, if they consider it to be harm?
It's only absolute to them. The person inflicting the harm, odds are, doesn't think they're inflicting harm.
So let me say that, for instance, somebody declared that they're homosexual and that harmed the feelings of their mother. Would homosexuality then be wrong?
Only to the mother.
Right, since morality is up to the individual.
Yes.
So nothing is really wrong then. Molesting children, you know, raping, it's not really wrong. It's just, you know, wrong to you.
It's wrong to me, and it's wrong to a lot of people.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's no real reason why nobody should do it, just because the majority think it's wrong, right?
Well, there's a reason not to do it, which would be laws, prison, big scary men in cells.
But other than that, if they can get away with it, then it's fine, right? Because
It's not fine to me.
But it doesn't really matter if it's fine to you or not, because, you know, who are you, really? Like, if somebody can get away with it, why not do it?
Because I don't like to harm other people.
Why should somebody not rape?
Because it's wrong to harm other people, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know, but why should they care what your opinion is?
They don't need to, but they'll care when they're behind bars.
Yeah, but what if they can get away with it? I'm just curious. Like, I mean, from an atheistic standpoint, how can you tell somebody that it is wrong to rape, that they should not rape? According to what?
Well,
if morality is individual, then he could say, well, that happens to be your moral that raping is wrong. My moral is that it's right. Why should I listen to you?
Well, I can't really make a blanket statement for all atheists. That's for certain. But a lot of people do believe in humanism, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, I actually attend the local humanist meeting every month. I'm the only Christian there, and it gets pretty interesting.
God, I wish there was a local humanist meeting around here.
A couple of months ago, one of the fellows actually suggested that I not return. But a few people in the group came up to me afterwards, and they said, no, they want me back. So, but I do go to the local humanist group.
Well, yeah, well, there'll be small-minded people who don't want to hear dissenting opinions no matter where you go. But what I don't understand is how anything could be considered morally wrong, like it often is in religion, when it doesn't harm anyone. That's
the thing is, that's not for you to say if it harms somebody or not. If it harms God...
But I do not know that God is there. I do know that anyone else that I meet is there.
Well,
that's a
presupposition that you can't back up. Because the thing is, if it does harm God, then those things are wrong. I mean, that's a logical outworking of the Christian worldview. But you cannot tell me why anything is wrong or why anybody should not do things except for a personal opinion.
Well, yeah, yes, I just have a personal opinion toward it, but what I don't understand is why does God get such a different set of rules than everything else that we observe in life?
For example?
Well, it's just people can take, compartmentalize their mind so that they believe in medical science and they use technology to better their lives, but when it comes to God, they just believe blindly. And I won't say just blindly, because I believe that a lot of people have personal reasons for believing, or they believe that they've seen evidence that just can't be backed up scientifically.
Oh, I mean, we can get to the very root of that issue. Like, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, unfortunately included, they think that faith takes over where reason leaves off. But what it comes down to is faith is the basis of all reason. I have faith in God, therefore I can reason. You have blind faith in your ability to reason, because, like you said, you can't know if it's reliable.
Okay, but say your God didn't exist. Okay? Then where does that leave you?
Well, I'm saying that that is an impossible statement, because then you could not reason. Like, for instance, science, all of science is based on what is called the law of induction, or the principle of induction. That means that the future will be like the past. Like, if you think that, if you do an experiment that fire burns today, you know, you can, through science, under the same circumstances, say that fire will burn tomorrow. Now, these things are based on the uniformity of nature. All of science is based on that. But in an atheistic worldview, you cannot tell me that fire will burn tomorrow, because you have no grounds to say that the future will be like the past. So, you know, even if when you speak and when you think and all that, you expect the words that you're using to mean the same thing 5 seconds from now that they meant 5 seconds ago. I mean, you believe in this uniformity. But that's another thing. Like, people say that Christians discount science. What I'm saying is that you cannot do science unless you first assume that nature is uniform, and you cannot account for that outside of God.
Then, do you believe in evolution?
Do I believe in evolution? No, I do not.
But that's a major part of science.
Well, the thing is, it's a major part of those scientists who have a presupposition that God does not exist, for whatever reason.
But I know religious people, and in fact, a lot of religious people tout that there are religious scientists who believe in evolution, but also believe in a higher power that they call God. Now,
hey, and there's a lot of priests that rape boys too. Doesn't make it right.
So believing in evolution and God is like a priest raping a boy.
I'm just giving you an extreme example that not everything everybody who claims to be a Christian is right.
How do you know that you're the right Christian?
Pardon me?
How do you know that you're the right Christian?
How do I know that I am the right Christian?
Yes.
The thing is, I trust the Bible as my ultimate authority, and I wholeheartedly try to abide by it.
But another man picks up the Bible and decides that it tells them to kill the people who do wrong.
Right, and that's when we do an internal critique of his worldview and find out why he believes that and see if he can demonstrate within the Bible, and I say he can't.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fair. But I do want to state that, so everybody knows, as far as I can tell from all the newspaper clippings I've read in my life, no atheist has ever went on a cross-country killing spree because no God called to tell him not to. That's one of my favorite sayings, and I'm glad you got a chuckle out of it.
Although many atheists have gone on killing sprees.
As well as many Christians, as well as many human beings.
Professed Christian.
Oh, well... But then I could easily, in the same breath, say professed humanist atheist.
Well, the thing is, I would agree with you there, because I don't think there are any.
Oh, so you're one of those people who doesn't believe atheism exists? There are no such thing as atheists? Is that your fair statement?
I believe that atheism is an impossible worldview. I believe, according to my worldview, everybody knows God. And that's my ultimate authority. That's why I believe it.
Please go ahead.
Every atheist that I've encountered who's ever become a Christian, you know... I've asked them, well, when you were an atheist, did you know God existed? And they said, oh, yeah, I knew. But they were just suppressing the truth. I mean, 100% so far. I mean, you know, you might say, well, then they were never really atheists. But it's not that I need confirmation of the Bible, but every time I've asked, it's been confirmed. It's not that somebody says, well, all of a sudden, oh, I guess there is a God. No, it's been, they've stopped suppressing the truth that there was a God.
See, I guess I could be with you, except that regardless of my dislike for the Old Testament God, I think the Old Testament can be a pretty harsh book, and I'm sure you would somewhat agree.
Oh, man, I would not like to be against the Israelites in the Old Testament, that's for sure.
Yes, exactly. Now, regardless of my distaste for the message that I've when I read the Bible and when I read excerpts and stuff, there are parts that I think push a lifestyle that I would not want to live. The misogyny, the advocacy of slavery, genocide.
I think, you know, that's based on your presupposition that those things, the way you describe them, are wrong. And of course, slavery in biblical times was never condoned. It was never endorsed. It was just directed. And that doesn't mean that it was right. And I don't think, you know, give me an example of misogyny in the Bible.
I'd have to get my notes out. Isn't there a part in the Bible, and I could be completely wrong, that's how I learn, is by being wrong, so feel free to correct me, but isn't there something about not being anywhere near a woman when she's on her period?
There were definitely cultural laws for the Israelites. But those things are not laws that apply to us today, though.
Oh, well, I agree. I think a lot of the Bible doesn't apply to us today. But Well, obviously, according to my worldview, I don't think the Bible applies at all, but that's not accomplishing much between us.
Well, I think that if we actually got down to brass tacks, that, you know, you would probably say that, well, this does apply. You know, the golden rules and all of these morals that you claim to be just individual, you would say that, well, they are universal. I think that if you look at the morality of the Bible, if you understood it. But like I say to a lot of atheists too who want to get into a Bible study with me, I say, look, we meet Tuesday nights in Dorchester, Ontario. If you want to come, you're more than welcome.
Well, yeah, and then you go and enjoy your free health care, you northern bastards. But
yeah, I guess that movie's coming out, eh? That Michael Moore movie, and Town, London, Ontario, is featured in it.
I'm not a big fan of Moore.
There's a Canadian couple, actually, and they're actually a left-wing couple, and they did an expose on Michael Moore. A lot of his facts.
I read about that. Yeah, that seems very interesting. I look forward to it. I actually need to see that, and I need to see Michael Moore Hates America, which is another another opposing movie with a sensational title. Anyway.
Well, we're getting pretty close to the hour. I don't know if you want to cut it at an hour and just... I wouldn't mind doing this again sometime and just going through the critique that... what was that fellow's name? Kyle.
Kyle.
That he did of the site, because he brought up a lot of straw man argumentation as well that just don't really apply to the arguments that I'm using.
Oh, and I'm with you. Actually, we'll go on just a few more minutes. We don't have to stay to any conformed time because it's podcasting and I own it. So, but we'll wrap it up here in a few minutes. I'm gonna buy me a cheeseburger because it's Saturday and that's what I do. So.
Oh, wait a minute! You're gonna buy a cheeseburger? Aren't you eating a fellow animal?
A fellow animal, but animals eat lots of other animals.
I know, but would you have a human burger?
Depends on the person it was made out.
You see, that's the thing with evolution. You know, like you're eating another bag of biological matter. And, you know,
but
that's topic. Why not eat human?
There's nothing more natural than eating other animals. But the thing is, interspecies eating, cannibalism, has been shown to have negative effects on species.
Well, what about the species that eat themselves, like that eat their young, and is that morally wrong?
Not to the animal.
But is it wrong, though?
That I can't solidly answer because... I don't know enough about animals. I mean,
I think that you'd probably say that, no, it's part of nature. That's what happens in nature. I mean, it's one bag of matter eating another bag of matter. Just like, you know, you would be forced to say the same with Jeffrey Dahmer. Well, he just happened to like the taste of human flesh. And if that's okay with him, well, hey, I don't like it, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, if he wasn't harming other people to eat it, then maybe I wouldn't.
Yeah, but
that's
an arbitrary distinction that you make, though, harm.
I suppose, but it's how I judge most of what I do in my life and how I try to not harm other people.
How you do, but why should anybody else not harm? I mean, that's the whole morality argument again, which we don't have to hash up again, but just because you don't happen to like harming people or what you consider harm doesn't mean that it applies to anybody else if there's no absolute morality.
Well, I agree, but then again, once again, prisons
And what the thing is, what if people don't mind going to prison? What if they say, well, you know, I'm going to go to prison, but still, I think it's worth it, you know, if I get to eat somebody.
Because in the end, the nut jobs will always break our hearts.
Who cares about a broken heart? And who gets to consider them nut jobs? Why can't they call you nut jobs?
Oh, I'm sorry, for a second.
You non-person eating nut jobs?
I'm sorry, for a second, I was like, wow, have we dated? Because... You sounded like a man-eater there. Anyway. Well, I'm actually getting a weird kind of echo from me, actually. Okay, it's gone. Never mind. Sorry about that. I'm so far away from my original point about the Bible. Oh, okay. Here's what I really wanted to get across before we take off.
Right.
Now, when I was growing up, I was a Christian. And when I say I was a Christian, that of course means that I grew up in a Christian household. My mother called me a Christian.
Right.
Now, and I love my mother. My mother's a very religious woman. But she, the way I always put it is that she's, an incredibly moderate revisionist Christian. So she kind of changes, the laws in order to accept her loudmouth atheist son. But, I was raised believing in God and believing that you should have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And every day, you know, I would pray. Every week I'd go to church. We went to a Pentecostal church, so granted, skewed a little bit. But I never really held the Pentecostalism against Christianity. In fact, when I left the Pentecostal church, you're familiar with the Pentecostals, right?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, are you familiar with Pentecostals?
Oh, yeah, I went to a Pentecostal church in Australia, and the minister in the front, he said, I want everybody in here to come back with a prophecy next week. And I'm telling you, you don't know how close I was to getting up and saying, I got a prophecy for you. I'm not going to be here next week.
Well, it's, I mean, I obviously, I'm not sure if you've been to an American Pentecostal church, but speaking in tongues, hitting children with Bibles in order to get them to cry so the Holy Spirit will speak between them, you know?
Let me tell you something right now. It might shock you, but if you walk into a church and you see something that's happening that you think is bizarre, chances are pretty good I'm going to think it's bizarre.
Oh, I'm with you. I think that that's absolutely true. But I was just trying to simply make sure
you... I don't think it's absolutely true, because nothing can be absolutely true without God, right?
I'm sorry. Let me just hit myself with the semantic stick. Ow. Okay, we're good. No, but because I had grown up in the Christian religion, or at least in the way some people would interpret it, I did have that personal relationship with God, and I prayed a lot, and one day it kind of occurred to me that maybe I wasn't open to what's going on in the world. That doesn't mean atheist, of course. I actually began reading every book I could find on any religion whatsoever.
Right.
From Hinduism.
But then, what I'm saying is that then you were not a Christian. Because, I mean, at that point, because as far as the Christian worldview is concerned, is that all reasoning is dependent on God. That there is no such thing as neutrality, that God is the source of all reasoning. So the minute, the second, that you try and come to a conclusion about God on your own, you already deny his existence.
I suppose.
So the minute that you started reading, that you started looking, that you started thinking, well, maybe God doesn't exist, the second you did that, you were not a Christian. You were not behaving as a Christian. Because, like, according to my worldview, all reasoning, all thought, all logic is dependent on God.
No, well, but my point was that I was simply trying to learn more about the spiritual side of the world. I wasn't, I actually didn't become an atheist until about 2 years after beginning to study world religions, and that was actually a very heartbreaking, difficult transition.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, with your atheism, though, you've given up logic, you've given up morality.
That's according to you. That's according to you.
Well, we've discussed that. That you say, now, morality is just an individual thing, and you cannot account for knowledge. You cannot know anything you know. And like I said, I mean, you will continue to make knowledge claims. I mean, even saying that's according to you, you know that it's according to me, but you can't know that because you can't know if your reasoning is reliable. You can't know anything. Now, I'll probably listen to some of your podcasts in the future, and I'm sure you're going to say you know things. You know that you're sitting, you know that you're on the phone, you know that you're doing a podcast. But if you cannot demonstrate to me that your reasoning is reliable, that you cannot know anything.
I suppose, but I think at this point we're dealing with unsinkable duck. There's really not much I can push to you, because you've decided that without God there is no logic, there is no reasoning.
You know that I've decided that.
Well, I think the message board proved that well enough. And actually, let me get a plug-in for that message board real quick, everybody. If you would like to check out the Freak Forum forum, it's still a very young group, and you can check it out at forums.freakforumpodcast.com. You can, of course, call our comment line at 541-22-FREAK and leave us a comment. Or, you know, contact me if you'd like to come on the show like Cy has done here. And I've had a very good time so far. Thank you again for calling in, Cy.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I really encourage people to go to that forum as well, because I did engage that Stephen fellow a little bit, and just see what it degenerated to. I asked questions, and then it turned into an e-genitalia conversation. I would say it degenerated to that. You might say it was uplifted to that, but it was right after I made a point, and then since then, nobody has addressed my points. They just talked about e-penile things and e-,
Well,
okay, have a look at it, though. I encourage people to look at it and see what the atheistic reasoning leads to when they're confronted with logic.
Well, now, hold on. Well, I just want to say that the majority of the people that hang out on my message boards were simply tired of the of what they felt were circular logic, and they just eventually resorted to just trying to be funny to entertain each other.
The thing that I mean, I brought up earlier in this interview as well, is that your reasoning is entirely circular. Because in order to know anything, you have to know that your reasoning is reliable. And you cannot know that without circularity. So you might say that my reasoning is circular, that I base my reasoning on God, but you base your reasoning on the faith that your reasoning is reliable. That's entirely circular. So you can accuse me till the cows come home of circularity, but, you know, you are guilty of it.
Well, I won't claim that I'm not, in some ways at least, guilty of circular logic, but then...
I'll say entirely.
But if that's the case, what makes you right and my circular logic wrong?
Because my circular logic accounts for something. It would be virtuously circular as opposed to viciously circular.
Okay.
That I can account for the logic that I use when I assume that God exists. When I presuppose that God exists, I can account for logic. When you presuppose logic, you can account for nothing.
Okay, well, what if I said that absolute laws of all kinds did exist and that Sylvester Stallone caused them?
Well, I would say, state your case. The microphone is yours.
Well, Sylvester Stallone is handsome, dashing, charming, short. He has an accent of sorts. He was a Demolition Man.
How do you know? That's only your personal opinion, isn't it? Like, what's your basis for saying these things?
Okay, listen, just because you're Canadian doesn't mean you can come on my show and pick on Sylvester Stallone for being handsome. That's an absolute belief, okay? I won't have anyone say anything else.
He had some trouble in Australia a little while ago. But the thing is, people can posit other worldviews, but I'd like to know how they back that up. You know, you can say it was another cause, but, you know, state your case. I'd be happy to evaluate it. What evidence do you have that that these things you say about Sylvester Stallone are true?
Well, all right. Well, I don't think we're going to be able to make any more leeway on this topic. I appreciate very much you coming on and talking about your website, talking about your personal experiences, and just for playing being on. I really appreciate it, man. And
thanks for having me. And I'm sure that you're going to run into Christians as you do this podcast who, you know, argue incorrectly and who probably jerks too, because there's a lot of jerks on both sides. So if you ever want to have an intellectual discussion, even on a specific topic, I'd be happy to come on again and do that with you. And I appreciate your civility in this little over an hour here, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. And if you don't mind, just stay on the line. I'm going to mute you for a second. I'm going to call out. I'm going to do the end of the show, and then we'll just talk for a second, and then we'll be all set.
I'm good. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. All right, everybody, this has been the Freak Forum. Thank you so much for listening. We went a little over an hour today, so, hey, that's a bonus for you kids out there listening. Remember, forums.freakforumpodcast.com is where you go to talk about everything that goes on the show. I'll be around there. My moderators, Steve Rudzinski and Johnny Gallagher, will be there, and they're a lot of fun to talk to, so go over there, check it out. Also, you can go to store.freakforumpodcast.com, where we have new T-shirts and DVDs available, and if you buy one, it really helps the show out financially. The show's a bust, and it's been one for a while, but we could really use your help, so thanks so much for listening, everybody. We're going to head out. MySpace.com/FreakForum, FreakForumPodcast.com, FreakForum at FreakProductions.net, where you can email me. We're out, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.